If you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100, now the pressure's on because I have to. We're supposed to only take 45 minutes. Part of what we wanted to do in the initial opening was, obviously, you can see we needed to seat a certain way. We had the building specially cleaned last night, and we're supposed to not take forever when we leave the building. You know, if you want to do any major fellowship in the, if it's not too wet outside, step outside and do it out there. But try not to forget your 6 foot and all that type stuff. I think most of us here are okay with things. But just in case, there's one person, you know, we want to respect that. Psalm 100. And it says there, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are the people, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." I chose this one today because this is sort of a celebration, don't you think? Where were you at on March the 15th? Some of us were here. There's 56 of us here that day. The day before, on March the 14th, a whole bunch of us were up at Thomas Road Baptist Church, whatever it's called, there up there. And we were up there, and we had this big men's rally. On the way home, we got the word that the governor said no more than 100 people was going to be allowed to be in the building. So we made a bunch of phone calls and just encouraged people that needed to stay home, and 56 of us gathered. We weren't sure what was going to be the next step, and obviously we've seen what the next step is. Then they reduced it to 50, then they reduced it to 10, and slowly are kind of reopening. So today's a celebration as far as I'm concerned. It's our first service in this building with people present. We've had the praise groups, and They get done, then I come in all by myself and record the sermon, all those things. It's nice to see this. I enjoy the interaction. I've enjoyed the drive-in services, but there's a big difference between you actually seeing your face and smiling and kind of going along with me and looking through windshields and windshield wipers and all that type stuff and hearing horns beep. So it's nice. So this is a kind of a very special day. So I chose this passage. It's a psalm of praise, of thanks, of celebration, and I want to just concentrate on that today and see how we should be expressing things. If you'll notice verses 1 and 2 again, the writer of the psalms instructs the people. Now, you do know that psalms are songs. They were songs that the Jews sang at different times, sometimes a lot of them at one time, sometimes just a few by themselves. They grew up learning these psalms, a lot of them. There wasn't a whole lot of copies being printed up and passed out to everybody, so they learned them. So the psalmist here is saying, look, we need to, when we come into the presence of God, when we come into His presence, we need to have a certain attitude and a certain mindset. Some of us come in the door, we're bringing our bag load of troubles with us, right? We're struggling with issues, and we come in and we struggle, we sit down, life is heavy. Unless the preacher or something just really motivates us, we leave with the same bag load of misery and trouble that we came to start with. I like what one man used to do. He had a very tough job, very demanding job. It was hard to feed his family on his paycheck and everything. But he didn't want to bring problems home to his family. He didn't want to bring work issues home to his family. So what he would do is as he would approach the door of his house, there was a little tree right there. And he would just reach over and just touch the tree for a moment and go on inside. Then when he came out the next day, he would touch the tree and go. Neighbor asked him one time, "What you're doing?" He said, "I just don't want to burden my family with all the issues that they don't need to be dealing with. So I symbolically leave it at the front of my house. I go inside, and then I come back and I kind of pick it up and go back to whatever I got to do." It was symbolism for him. We want to make sure that we are worshiping and praising and honoring our God in every way possible with joy and praise and thanksgiving. So let's look at what it says here in verses 1 and 2 again. How many of you are shouters, by the way? Not many of us are. You might like the way the King James says it better. Make a joyful noise Okay? Joyful noise. Anybody ever heard kids squealing? Oh, the other day, five of kids were in the pool, and they were just a squealing and everything else. And then there was two teenagers kind of doing all they can to provoke them to even more, but they're just having a grand old time. Kids know how to have fun. You need to tone it down. The neighbors are next door. They don't know. They just want to make that noise. Make a joyful noise. The NIV says, shout for joy to the Lord. You don't shout at God. You shout for joy. You make a joyful noise unto Him. And you notice it says here, all the earth, not just a few select people, all the earth. And then he says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. I like to sing, but I don't necessarily like to be heard singing. Okay? A lot of us are that way, right? When nobody's in the house, especially, and a good song comes on, man, I can sing that with it, right? All right? I like to sing in the shower. And one of the reasons I like to sing in the shower, the sound of the water falling sounds like applause. So I sound good in the shower, is what I'm saying, okay? Yeah, acoustics are much better in there, that's for sure. But be glad, be joyous. The other day, I had a nostalgia moment. I got onto the website there, started picking up some old songs from the 60s and 70s, and started playing some of my old songs. And it just would bring back some of those wonderful memories and things like that. Let's be the same way when it comes to singing to our Lord. Offer up glad songs. Offer up joyous songs, joyful songs. Be joyous about this. Where are you headed? Heaven. How are you getting there? Jesus. And one step at a time. And there is not a thing that happens in this planet Earth. There's not a thing that happens on planet Earth that's going to change your destination if you stay in Jesus. All you got to do is endure this place. Those of you who've ever been in the military, little Charlie's right now down at basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, having a grand old time, enjoying everything. It's just like the recruiter told him. It's a nice field trip, okay? But I guarantee you, he's already started thinking, 8 more weeks and I'll be through. 8 more weeks. Then 7 more weeks and I'll be through. And then 5 more, that type of thing. We get down to 3 more wake-ups, I'll be through, okay? There's something you're pushing for, and there's a joy. Get that gladness. Get that joy going. And be willing to almost shout it out. I know we're quiet people overall. You go to some of the churches, more your Pentecostal, your holiness, and charismatic type churches. I mean, they're shouting even when you don't want them to shout. We played softball on the softball field in a church league one time. And I had never experienced this, so we're sitting there with one of the charismatic type churches, their ball team. And I said, "Dear Lord," and man, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, it just came right. And so I paused for a moment, and then I said a couple more words, and they kept right on going. So that's the way they do it. And I'm fine with that, but it just caught me off guard. So I made them wait every time. Okay, you say what you got to say. When it gets quiet, I'll give you the next phrase. All right? So. But let's be happy people. Let's be a joyous people. The other day, Sarah was getting the twins in the van. She's trying her best. Get in your car seat. Fasten your belt. Don't do that, you're going to spill this. And she kept going. And I walked over to her, I said, "Remember now, there are two answered prayers. The twins are two answered prayers." So, there was a time. You got to remember that, you got to remember the joy. So, the joy and the thrill of being with God. All right, look at verse 3 now. The reason why we can shout, the reason why we can be glad, the reason why we can offer up joyful songs is, know that the Lord is who? It says right there, the Lord is God. And what is He to us? He is He who made us. We have been formed in the image of God. Mankind has been. Breath of God was breathed into man. We need to understand that. We're special. We're not just some dog or cat. I know you all love your dogs and cats, okay? I know that if you got your choice between your children going to heaven and your dog going with you, you're going to have to think about it for a week or so. But anyway, We've been made special. Human beings have been made special. So we've been made in the image of God. It's He who made us. And He makes it even more special. We're His people. We're His family. Some people might say we're His peeps. You know, we're His posse. You know, we're the ones that He wants to hang with for eternity. He's made us and we're His. We're His people. The sheep of His pasture. We don't belong to some other shepherd. We belong to the shepherd, the one who has made us. So the Lord is God, therefore we can shout and be glad. Let's move on to verse 4. So how should we enter His courts? How should we enter His gates? How should we come in before His presence? It says here, enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Is there one thing in this world you're thankful for? Then focus on that. If you can't find 100 things to be thankful for, then at least focus on that one when you come in to God. God, I am so thankful. We're thankful we can be here today. We're looking forward to the day that the numbers will be even more. They're able to be here. They can be here. I'm not faulting anybody for not being here. They have to make their choices, their health choices, and I can't blame them for that. We're here today, we're thankful for this, and we need to praise God for that. Enter His courts with praise, glorify Him, honor Him, and give thanks and praise His name. So, that's what we're supposed to do, part of our praise and shouting to the Lord. And then finally, in verse 5, for the Lord is what? NIV says, the Lord is good. God is good. And somebody will come back and say, God is good all the time. Okay? I've heard people repeat that to one another. God is good. What does it mean to be good? When you think of God being good, yeah, I think of being, we often say He's a good person. He's a good man. She's a good woman. She's good. But there's something about that when we say it. There's something about a holiness, a perfection, a righteousness to that statement. God is good. He's good all the time. He will see to us and take care of us. And then notice, how long is God's love good for? How long does it last, right? God is love. And for eternity, we will experience that love. It says in the phrase here, again, His love endures forever. His love for us, His mercy for us, His caring for us, it will endure forever. For those who are in Christ, for those who are Christians, you will never be outside the love of God. No matter what hole you find yourself in, no matter what challenging situation you're facing, no matter what struggle you're going through, on good days and bad days, God still what? Loves us. I mean, He might discipline us once in a while. Anybody here ever had a parent tell you you did something wrong and they had to punish you? Some of you, right? All of us have had that happen. Did your parents stop loving you just because they had to say, no, you're wrong, no, you can't do that? The Bible tells us that discipline is done because He loves us. The discipline I got as a young boy, Dad was preparing me for manhood, the way I should treat people, the way I should do things, the way I should go about responsibilities. So He was teaching me then, even though I didn't want to be taught, but He had to do what He did because He loves me. Even today, 87 years old, Dad will sit, I'll talk to him and he'll say, I love you. It means a lot to know you're still loved after all these years. I mean, I know I did some things wrong growing up, but He still loved me. So we need to understand His love endures forever. And then finally, it says here, His faithfulness continues through all generations. God has promised you and me that if you will serve Jesus Christ, if you will come to Him through Jesus Christ, He has promised us that we will be with Him in heaven. Will He keep His promise? He will keep His promise. God is what? Faithful. And He's good. His love endures forever. He will keep His promise. The only way that you can miss out on salvation is to turn your back on Jesus Christ. God will not turn His back on you. You'll make the choice to accept His free gift or to reject His free gift. But He will be faithful and keep it, His promise. So God promises that He'll be with His people in life and in death. He promises His people He will be in this life throughout all things that you're facing. There isn't one breath you draw that God is not faithfully there with you. So this psalm teaches us quite a bit about the character of God, how awesome He is. So what should we do when we enter His courts? Shout praises. Be thankful. Think about His yes. There you go. Think about His attributes. Think about His praise. Okay? All right. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you today. I wanted to let you know that God is good, God loves us, God is faithful, and we need to come into His presence with it. If we're not going to do it audibly, if we're not going to walk in...
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen!
If we're not going to do all that stuff, at least let your spirit, let your mind, let your... who you are. God, I love you. I may not shout it out loud for everybody else to hear, but God, I love you and I am thankful for you and I am here to praise and honor you today. And when I leave here, I'm going to take you into the whole world and share you with others. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.